Okay. I told you before, the guy said, are you very old? I said, am I very old? I said, I'm old enough to remember when the Dead Sea was sick. Now, we had a baptismal instruction class this morning, and may I say, I know that many times it's hard to work in a baptismal service for people because they're saying, where do we meet? When do we meet? We don't have our own church. We don't have our own pool. Even when you have your own church, you can't just fill up the baptistry every day. So we have to have planned times. We're Trinity Church just beginning. You remember, we baptized it at Boys Town. We baptized up in Lewis Clark. That's what. Nathan Hale. We baptized in the Twin Rivers. It's okay to be moving around. It keeps you loose. You don't get rooted. And so it's okay to have D.C. Well, I was somewhat disconcerted to hear I was asked to preach at the D.C. Center, which stands for Don't Come. So, Steve Peterson's in Washington, D.C., but we're here at D.C., so it's not quite the same, okay? Now, I do want to say this, that if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, go and make disciples, baptizing them. And I know this is the practical angle of who, when, where. But if you're a child of God, and you're born of God, and you know that, and you're a disciple, and you haven't been baptized yet, my strong exhortation to you is you can be baptized. And I've got more to do than to recruit. I really do. And our brother has a sheet here. I had the first session this morning five people who've signed up. But I want to exhort you. I'm not preaching now, but it sounds like it. If you are a child of God and you say you love Him and you haven't been baptized, you ought to be baptized. Not because Murdoch says so. Check with Jesus. Is that okay? I mean, this is a Jesus group, isn't it? This is a group that believes this. Am I correct? This book talks about Jesus, right? He's Lord and Master, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. So I'm saying, don't you put it off. Say, well, I get my hair wet. Of course you get your hair wet. He got covered with blood. How are you going to do it? Okay? A little difference? I'll talk about this some morning. So, I trust you accept this word of exhortation. And as a loving brother with you, and if you're on the way through making the process, don't forget, I start out there in infant baptism, and I work my way through till I find out, you know what, this is what I got to do. If you're in process, fine. Come and bring your questions. You don't have to be baptized. Bring your questions. But seek the Lord on this thing. Don't put it off. Well, I'm this, I'm that. Hey, July 11th, the dentist is home. We'll have another baptismal service. See him. Sign up their name and phone number so we can keep in touch. Your email, please, and thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you. I feel better now. I've had my therapy. Yesterday, by God's grace, we had 7 people at College World Series. They won't be there today. Passing out our baseball Step Up to Life. Just under 4,000 tracks given away. And you know, the Lord encouraged me. I see the Smiths were here. Steve Contreras, who is not here, Larry Quigley, Bob Laughlin, yours truly, I'm missing one more, John Longbreak. And the Lord encouraged me last night. I got home. It was a long day at the office. So you get down there 10 o'clock-ish, and you get home about 7. And it was warm, and the sun was shining, and thank God, find the shade. Thousands of people there. And the Lord encouraged me. He spoke to my heart last night. He said, you have put a witness into the hands of 4,000 people. And if you don't have literature as part of your Christian lifestyle, I strongly exhort it. We have these big peak times. But you know, sometimes you get out there and you wonder, what am I doing out here? Well, we're sowing in hope. That's what we're doing. A man went forth to sow. And you know what? When you read the parable, 3/4 of seed end up in junk. Hard, stony places, root but didn't last. Hey, I don't care. We had about a 10% rejection rate in pamphlet-rich America. I am grateful. We had 20%. I don't care to be down there doing it anyway. But you know what? It just encouraged me, and I want you guys to be encouraged too, that whether they knew it or not, placed in their hand was a piece of literature that could lead them to the throne of grace, the Lord Jesus, eternal life and not hell, and find purpose here. Yeah. God, we pray, water that seed, O Lord. And God's people said, amen. Okay, I just took 15 minutes of my sermon time. Now, that's how it goes. You want to see? I preached, by the way, the everlasting gospel. That's why my sermons are so long. Take your insert, please, and thank you. We get nothing else but read the scriptures. Philippians 1, 22-30. Our brother David preached yesterday. I'll talk about that in a minute. Last time, brother, this. Let's go together now. If I am to go on living in the body, Paul says, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. That is, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Lord, bless your word to us. Now, this is Paul's epistle written to us from prison. It was not written from a Christian conference center or a Caribbean cruise for believers with the world's best gospel singer on board ship. This is not what he's talking about. And so it's good to realize that much of the New Testament was written from jail, from prison, by the Apostle Paul and by others. I want to point out to you, as our brother last week, our brother David so well mentioned and preached and shared with you, that if Christ be glorified, Paul says, what does it matter? Whether I live or die, what does it matter? If Christ be glorified, I'm content with that. And he did such a wonderful job encouraging you to realize that what you're going through is not unimportant, but it's important that through it, Christ is being glorified. And I think I want to say a word about John and Linda here. I commend them. She's a good teacher in ministry, knows the language and so forth. But John also has a ministry. He paints when he goes down there. He paints the pastor's houses. He paints the prisons. He paints the inside. I mean, we got the practical on one side, we got the Bible teaching on the other side, and it all just meets together. I want to commend John and Linda for what they're doing, printing, preaching, and painting. And so I bless you for that. And his ministry has left its mark wherever he's gone, by the way. All right. Didn't get that? Left his mark. He paints. Come on. He left his mark. Come on. Wake up. Here we go. John, even you didn't get it. What? Come on. I should tell John he should repaint right now, you unbeliever. No. Now repaint. Okay. That's when he has to do the job over. Okay. Now, our brother David, showing you that Paul's final bottom line is, if Christ be glorified, I'm okay. And he was not writing this from a hammock with a glass of iced tea and a Nubian slave waving an ostrich fan over his brow. He's very gutsy. He's very gutsy. Christianity is gutsy. And I praise God for it. Now, you notice he finally says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Last week's sermon. May I revise that to what I think most of us, including maybe the guy talking to you, changes that to, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We kind of change it, for me to live is gain. I didn't die. I got through the sickness. And to live as Christ, so to go to heaven. No. That's a revised vision. Paul said, for me to live as Christ, and to die as gain. We pray for people to get well and get sick and get healed. Praise God. But hey, there's a dimension there. For me to live as gain, to die as Christ. No, he turns it the other way around. Well, for me to live as Christ, I can't wait to get there. Paul did not have a death wish. He did not have a death wish. He wouldn't say, wow, this life's a bummer. I can't wait to check out. No, he did not have a death wish. Now, I want to share with you in about 10 minutes, maybe I'll go over about 8 minutes with you. How many will give me 2 more minutes? 2 more minutes. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Thank you. I have 20 extra minutes. I appreciate that. That's called homiletical deception. Okay. And after this, I run for office. Okay. Okay. Three principles. The first principle, as we look at Paul, is a decision to be made concerning an eternal departure. And we look at 1:22 of that. It says, if I go on living, Paul says, hey, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I go, I go. If I stay, I stay. But I says, boy, I'm really torn in both directions. I'd love to be with the Lord, but you know what? You dear folks, I think I can help you some more. And I'm pulled in both directions. I love you so much. I want to help you. I want to divide you faith and grace and mercy. But man, I can't wait to get there. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. It won't be a wasted life. I'm not spending just all my time watching the American Idol. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. It's just so good in both directions. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Hold your breath. Are you kidding me, Paul? Yeah. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So the reason I'm staying around, I love to go. I'd leave like now. But while there's a need for you and I can help you, I think God let me stay. And I'm going to be delivered from this jail. And he was. He was delivered from prison. He had one more time out to minister. Now, I point out to you, therefore, Paul says, for me to depart and be with the Lord is far better. Everyone in this room is getting ready for an eternal departure. You know, I started talking to my wife today about dying. I said, I think I'm going to live about it. She said, don't talk that way, don't talk that way. Well, I understand that. That's not my favorite subject. I wake up every morning and say, let me talk to you about dying. I don't do that. I've got too much to live for. By the same token, I'm starting to plan my funeral service. I better. Nobody else could. I mean, they do it, but I mean, I'm thinking, have I got my plot yet? Nope. I need to get a plot. You know, someday they're going to put you in the ground. You say, you're being crass. I'm not being crass. I'm being realistic. And believe me, I haven't got a lot of time to be unrealistic, okay? I'm so old that if I don't keep moving, people throw dirt on me. I've got to be careful. You're getting ready for an eternal departure. When the church sent us on our farewell trip to Europe, and we were going to go over on the QE2, Queen Elizabeth II, which was at that time the largest sailing vessel, transoceanic, I mean, it was a traffic jam, and it was a jam. And we got to New York City, you got to be picked up by a limo, and that was a stretch, believe me. And thank you. And I mean, the traffic was on traffic on traffic. Since we got there later, was, you know what New York is like at 5 o'clock in the evening? Oh, it's so private. And we tore down, he tore down, we tore down. We were carrying our luggage. Ah, hold it. Hold the ship. Ah. And they were ready to pull the gangplank up, but we made it. The time of my departure is at hand. Okay. Now, Paul said, I'd love to depart. I'd love to go there. You're going to make an eternal goodbye. You leave here, you're not ending, you're beginning. You don't get thrown on the ground like a dead dog. You've been made in the image of God. That's immortal. Everybody you ever know and everybody that ever lived is still alive this morning. They're still alive this morning. They're more alive now than when they died and when they lived on earth. They've entered into the eternal realm of heaven or hell. That's eternal. I hope you're ready to make this life significant and worthwhile and that life with our great Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Mickey Mouse. It's not put it off. It's not ho-hum. It's will someday. It's not someday. It's going to be the day. And that's why Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. Thank you, Lord. A reminder. I don't mind his amens. I hope you don't. I hope you get the message. You think I'm kidding. When Samuel got through preaching to Israel, when they were being bad people, it thundered. They're not supposed to thunder that time of year. And the Lord was backing up Samuel's message. And I don't know how many of you are here this morning. I'm going all over the world today, but stay with me because I'm full. How many were with us at Nathan Hale? Baptism. When we baptized that man, John Wright, there's one hand. And it was clear as a bell. There was no rain, no nothing. We got in that baptism. We had about, I don't know, 18, 19 people to baptize. And when John Wright got in to be baptized, and he'd been an ex-Air Force pilot,
He'd flown the Thunder Jet, the Thunderbird, the Thunder this, the Thunder that. I kid you not. And I did not know, and he never told me till afterwards as he stepped into the waters with his flight suit, because that had been his whole life, that had been his God. Lieutenant Colonel John Wright, don't get me going. I did not know, he said, Lord, and the devil told him, you step in those waters, you'll be killed. And he had to fight that off. You go step in those waters, you're going to die. He told me this later. He said, Lord, please baptize me with thunder. That's a silent prayer. We get in the water. We lay hands on him. Oh, my God in heaven, I can still see it. The prophecy came and said, as you pour down thunder and lightning on people, so God will pour down his thunder and lightning on you. And as soon as I said that, bang! There came a bolt of thunder over our head that shook the building. We all looked around. I was absolutely astonished. I was silenced, flat out. And then he told me, I asked God to baptize me in thunder. And I want to tell you, that's the only time in my life there was a physical sign from heaven just to show you the fire came down on for Elijah on the mount. And I had nothing to do with it. The faith of that man toward his God newly found. Are you ready for your eternal departure? You know how long eternity is? I'll tell you. I can't really tell you, but I can suggest an illustration for you. If you had a bird take one speck of the earth, one grain of sand, fly up to the moon, drop it off, fly back, pick up one grain of sand, fly off to the moon, fly back, one grain of sand, fly up to the moon, fly back. When he got through flying the whole world up there, grain by grain, eternity would just be beginning. I'm going to say something. You have to stay with me on it. Everybody has eternal life. It's just where you spend it. Now, if by eternal life, and I do at this point mean length of days, saved and lost have the same length of days. The unsaved are alive today and will never die, never cease to exist. But eternal life, as the Scripture uses it, is quality of life. If you were to go to heaven unsaved, it would become hell to you. I'm going to say it again. If you go to heaven unsaved, it'll be hell for you. Now, I've had enough funeral services. I've been around enough people, sick and dying, and enough healthy and not dying, who talk as though they like to go to heaven. I don't blame them. But I want to think, oh, very interesting. Joe wants to go to heaven. Joe doesn't give any care about the Bible. He doesn't care about going to church. He doesn't care about prayer. He doesn't care about the gospel. He doesn't care about missions. He doesn't care about righteousness. He doesn't care about sins. He doesn't care about anything. He still wants to go to heaven. Oh, really? It'd be hell to him. What do you think they do up there? Play world-class poker? Well, you better, you know, they spend a lot of time thinking how great, seeing how great Jesus is. They spend a lot of time worshiping God up there. Now, let me say again, you're going to have a ministry and a job, quote, to do you won't believe, for fulfillment of all God's given you. But why somebody who has no care about the gospel hymns or songs or Christ or prayer or salvation or witnessing or anything else, why in the world would they want to go to heaven? What, for the retirement benefits? For the environmental improvement? That's not what it's about! Anybody with brains in their head want to go to heaven rather than hell. It doesn't take any great revelation to say, I want to go to the cool place rather than the hot place. And I want you to know that now you don't have time to get into it, but don't think God is a great big bully up there with this massive cosmic club beating on unbelievers because he just loves to smash people's heads in. Now, if I had 10 minutes, and I don't, but I'll tell you this, that if I had 10 minutes to show you the love and justice and kindness and mercy and long-suffering of God and how men have treated him, then you know when you get called down to court, you got to face a tough case. Christ is the only lawyer in heaven. You better retain him now because he's going to be your defense lawyer or he's going to be your prosecuting attorney, and he's never lost a case on either side. And you can't treat God that way. Take all he can give you and give him nothing back. Are you kidding me? Then you wonder why people stand in judgment before God because they've ripped him off day by day by day. And every beat you have in your heart right now is a gift from God. And every breath you took yesterday is a gift from God. And every good thing you ever got is a gift of God. And say, God who? God what? One guy stopped at our booth in Des Moines. We were there for the triathlon, passing out tracks. And bless his heart, he stayed there 10 minutes. And Don Stein shared Christ with him. At the end of 10 minutes, he says, You know what? Poor guy. I don't have time for God. In eternity, everybody's got time for God. Still with me? The time of my departure is at hand. The word for departure is the same word used when you're lifting the moorings from the pilings. Ship is ready to drift away. And my wife and I look over the railing of the QE2 and they take the huge hawsers, ropes, please and thank you, landlubbers, hawsers off the pilings. Take them off, and this massive ship begins to move slowly but surely away. And you go by the Statue of Liberty. She's still holding up her great lamp. And pretty soon, you can't even see that, and you're gone. That's you. It's okay if you board ship, knowing where you're going, for me to depart and... What did Paul say? For me to depart and be with the Lord is far better. Not far worse, far better to be with the Lord. But hold it. Hold it. For me to depart and not be with the Lord is far worse. Okay? Now, folks, there it is. You ready for your eternal departure? For me to depart and be the Lord is far better. He said, have you repented and believed yet? Are you like I was for minister's kid sitting in church 5 times a week, sitting right back over in there? And all I care is the sermons are short and the girls are pretty, and that's all I care. Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. I mean, the girls always were, but the sermons weren't always short. Someday... Now, I'm just not going to go through the message. Read it and glean it yourself. Someday, everybody yesterday who had a step up to the plate gospel tract placed in their hand, someday, among other things, every one of them will have that tract right by their face. Every time you've heard a church bell ring, you'll hear it again. Every time you peeked in and saw your mom on her knees, maybe even crying, praying for you, we'll go by again. Every time you sat in a service like this, it'll be replayed for you. See, there's no rush in heaven. There is no schedule. There is no soccer moms. There is no hair appointment. There's nothing. It's just now, forever now. And here, the loving Lord Jesus welcomes to His people all those who've come to Him. And over here is the judgment. Great white throne. Small and great stand before the Lord. There's no rush. No one's listening to an iPod. The iPhones are gone. There are no clocks, grandfather's clocks, sundials, or stopwatches, or anything else in heaven. Time does not exist. God made time only for creatures like you and me while we're on earth. He made time and space for us while we're here. All time is, hear me, All time is eternity bent down here. It was a big right turn here, big 90-degree turn down here. Then it goes straight, and while it's down here, the Lord painted markers on it. And it said days, weeks, months, seconds, years, decades, scores, and so forth, and centuries. So he just took eternity, bent it down here, put time markers on it, so that while we're down here, we have something to judge things by. And when time is wrapped up, it goes back up here to eternity, and there's no time markers on it, because time does not exist in heaven. That's why there's no rush, which is the last thing we are comprehensive of in this day and age. I'm closing now. You know what? So are you. You're a day older than yesterday. And I'm a day older than yesterday. And I may not see tomorrow, and you may not see tomorrow. Say, I'm young, I'll see tomorrow. You have no guarantee. Don't tell me that. I got too many phone calls. Don't tell me that. If you think you'll see tomorrow, you can guarantee that? Come up and tell me what you're based on. Are you ready to part today? And it doesn't make any difference whether it's today or 30 years from today. You're going to depart someday. And they're going to take the hawsers off, and you're going to get on death boat, and it leaves. But you know what? The good thing is, where are you headed? You decide that now. I want a relationship with Christ, and I live out from Him here. May not be easy, may be hard, whatever. I'm born and created and recreated for His glory, whether I'm into electronics or into construction or whether I'm into raising my family, whatever. The point is, this is what I'm related to, and I live my life for Him. Let's close in prayer. Now, I think the Lord wanted these words shared this morning. And it's not just to no avail. I trust there are people here today who are ready to repent and to turn your life over to Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. And I'm not recruiting for a push job to make the church look good and make me look good. I'm here to recruit for King Jesus, who loved you and died for you and suffered an eternal hell on the cross for you and for me. No one's sins here are too great, and no one's sins here are too little. It took the death of Jesus Christ for us all. No matter how nice you look and how nice you smell, He had to die for you. No matter if you're a gutter bum and just a scumbag, He died for you. And the good news is, the time to not depart, but the time to repent and believe is now. And if that's taking place, then your departure's in His hands. And while I'm standing here and you're looking at me and I'm looking at you, or you're looking at the Lord or whatever, it's okay. I want you to know this is a definite thing. This is surely as definite as death going to be for you. As definite as death will be for you. As definitely as you'll stand before God and His Son, Jesus Christ. As surely as you're sitting here this morning, He will ask you to give your account to Him as to why you did or did not receive Him as your Lord and Master when He poured out His death and life and hard dying and the agonies of hell that fell on Him. That all the sins that I should pay for and be punished for fell on our Lord Jesus. And He stepped right into the gap and took it full bore right in the chest. Didn't duck one of my sins' punishments or yours. But now's the time to settle it up. Now's the time to say, Lord, take over. Now's the time to say, Lord, I've gone my own way long enough. You've been in church 5 years, 10 years. You've sat through five services a week. I don't really care. Been there, done that. Maybe it's your second time in here. Praise God. And I'm just being flat open with you. Life's too short. And I want to know this morning, who are going to say, count me in, Lord. Count me in. I'm yours. Take over. Good, bad, or indifferent. Take over. I'm through Mickey Mousing around with religion. I'm through come to Anko Church or any other church and sit there like a religious bump on a log, smiling, looking good, and singing songs. I even put bucks in the offering plate. I'm tired of that. I want and must have and will have a relationship with Christ that starts with my heart, no holes barred, no ifs, ands, and buts, take over with I die, I live. I'm just talking gospel 101. This is not the deeper life. This is the beginning of life. Now, who'll stand where they were? Just stand and say, hey, count me in. That's what you're saying. Stand right now on your feet and say, Lord, I'm repenting. I want you to take over this morning. Not next week, not tomorrow night. I mean N-O-W now. Anyone, please stand here once. Thank you. Someone else? asked you, if you departed today, where'd you go? What would you tell Jesus? Don't ask mom to speak up for you because we won't be there. Don't ask your pastor. Don't ask your youth leader. It's a one-on-one deal, guys. It's one-on-one. Every man shall bear his own burden. We got two people here. Say, this is, count me in, Lord. Regardless of the cost, you're mine. Anybody else? The only preparation you can make for this departure is repentance and faith. Then live out for Him. I'm going to wrap it up here. I'm not going to pull and twist. I don't believe in that. See, lady, yes, that lady over there standing. Someone else? It's the time. I mean, how can you put this off? You're standing at the gangplank. The ship's going to leave town. It's going to leave the harbor. You're going to be on it. Sooner or later, they're going to call your number. Anyone else before we wrap it up? God loves you with an undying and positive love. Dear Lord, thank you for these dear ones who are standing. Thank you. You look upon the heart. And I thank you they've responded. Now, Lord, let them know that you've just been, you're just dying to receive them. You love to receive them. That you, when they repent, it frees you to do what you've wanted to do all of eternity, which is to give them eternal life and pardon in yourself. This is the desire of your heart, Lord. You're not begrudging. You're not gingerly in this thing. You're not stingy in grace. And when we come broken, you come to say, here I am. And to wrap your arms around and say, you're mine. You're mine. I've longed for you. So, Father, thank you for this. I'm going to close the service, and when I do, I'd like to have the three folks just come and sit here in the front row, and I can see you for a moment, please, and thank you. Brother Dave will be here with me. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you of His grace. For this is the day of beginnings, if you've heard my voice, saith the Lord. This is a day of awakening, if you've heard my voice, saith the Lord. Behold, I've spoken through my servant words that are fierce and straight and direct. There's been no glitz in them. It's simply the straight appeal of an eternal voice, even my own, to you. And I've said these things so that you should be awakened and not slumber unto death. Behold, the day will come when the ship takes off. And you'll all be aboard. Everyone makes this voyage, saith the Lord. None escape it. The passenger list is full of all who've ever lived. And of all who've ever died. Understand in this day, therefore, that you who have sat here this morning have heard again the appeal of the eternal. You've heard the appeal of the eternal, not of a man speaking to you only, but of my speaking through his words, that you may know that I understand you and I speak to your heart. What more can I do? I've explained it. I've loved you. I've shown you. Many of you bask in the fullness of the gospel knowledge. Many of you have been filled to overflowing with knowledge and wisdom of the gospel. Therefore, what will you do this morning, saith the Lord? Do not cast it aside, like many yesterday who threw aside the track and lay down on the street. Many did that. But some will hear. But now this is your turn and your time. Do not put it away. If you've not stood, you still stand. Even now, the trumpet calls. Will you hear? In Jesus' name, amen. Dismissed, and I'd love to see those in the front who stood. Please and thank you.